Hey guys!
Welcome back to Faith on Fleek. It's Cadence Melville.
And Cooper McFessel.
And we're your hosts. So today, we don't have a special guest, but me and Cooper are going to be talking about staying consistent and obedient with the Creator.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Me too.
It's going to be good.
Yes. And so the reason I wanted to talk about this is because lately I have been struggling to stay consistent with just like reading my Bible and really like putting in the effort. So I feel like this is a good topic to talk about because I feel like a lot of people can relate and a lot of people are struggling with this as well. So
yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's something that people don't talk about a lot. Like I feel like especially in church, we just kind of like assume everyone is doing that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people aren't doing it at all. A lot of people struggle with staying consistent with it for sure, doing it every day and making that a priority. And it is difficult to do. You get busy and especially, you know, like people with children. I hear like parents talking all the time, like with little kids, like how they used to have like a set time where they would spend time with the Lord. And now it's like, oh, my kid's like crying right now, so I can't, you know, and their whole life, like their schedule changes or like things happen. So like it is definitely something that can be a struggle to do. I think it's definitely good that we're going to talk about that.
Me too. So we have some points. So our first one is why you need to remain obedient to the Lord. So in the Bible, in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 through 14, it outlines the blessings that God has promised for us if we obey them. Notice that the blessings will come if we fully obey God. The rewards for obedience are clear. You will be blessed wherever you go.
Yeah, that's good. That's something my parents used to always like remind me of a lot when I was growing up. They would always say blessing follows obedience. Like that's a phrase that I have ingrained in my mind. Blessing follows obedience. So it is very, very important. And I also think it's important to be obedient to the Lord. I mean, obviously just because like that's what he commands us to do. But also, like, when you, everything that he commands us to do is for our benefit. Like, all the things that we're supposed to do or not do in the Bible that it talks about are all to keep us safe or to keep us on track or to help us to live life abundantly. And, you know, a lot of people think that being obedient to the Lord is like restrictive, but in reality, when you obey him, it opens up your life to so much blessing and opportunities to actually be fulfilled in your life. So
yeah, that's good. So the next point is how to obey the Lord, and obedience takes sacrifice, and here are some ways to obey.
Okay, so the first one is by having a relationship with God. Decide to honor God with your decisions and actions by doing what his word tells us. Our main goal and motive for obedience to the Lord must be to please God because we love him, not for fame or because we have to. We talked about that before, this song by Tiffany Hudson called Obey, and it says, I will obey not because I have to, but because I love you. Another quote is, or you can read that if you want to.
Okay. So
Cadence found this quote.
Another quote I found, it says, have you noticed how a man behaves when he is in love with a woman? He will go out of his way to do things that he would ordinarily not do for other people because he wants to please that woman. He can spend huge amounts of money for that woman. He can kill for that woman. And we as Christians should be like this for God. Do it out of love for him.
Yeah, that's so true. Mm-hmm. It's easier to obey when you have that relationship with God. When you when you have a relationship with him, you understand who he is and why he commands us certain things, and it makes it easier for you to want to obey him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would put it in an example like this. My parents loved the Lord, served the Lord. They were good to me. They treated me well. They treated me with love. They kept me safe. They took care of me. And so I always trusted that everything that they told me to do was for a good reason. So I had no issue being obedient to them. But like for some people, I hear stories of like kids who grew up with parents who did not treat them well or who would not live the way they were trying to tell their kids to live. And it was harder for those kids to obey their parents because they didn't have a good relationship with them. Mm-hmm. I think it's the same with God. When you have a relationship with him, you can so much more easily obey out of love for him and not just out of, because I have to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like that.
So the second point is by reading the Bible every day for the primary basis of our decisions and actions. And I feel like this point, like a lot of people, like a lot of Christians I know, don't read their Bible. Like all they do is go to church and stuff. But at the same time, we have to keep in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. You can't obey the Word of God if you don't know it.
Yeah.
And you can't know it if you don't read it. Mm-hmm. And being at church is not enough. Because like, think about how much is in the Bible and how much time we spend in church.
Mm-hmm.
Like Jared and I can only preach on one topic, maybe like one story in the Bible a week. And that's like maybe, I don't know, 50 times a year. It's not because we don't have youth every single week. Like we have a Christmas party or something, you know, comes up.
Yeah.
But that is literally nothing. Out of 365 days, maybe 45 or 50 days, you hear us preach about one thing. That mm-hmm. couldn't even come close to covering everything that's in the Bible. And so, like, you can't, like you said, you can't just rely on church
mm-hmm.
to give you everything that you need to know. You need to know the Word of God for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the next one is through prayer. Sometimes even when we know the things that God expects from us, acting on them will not be easy. Many times obedience means sacrifice. Sometimes obedience can mean stretching ourselves outside of our comfort zone. Obedience can also be painful. So we need the Holy Spirit. In Luke 22:42, it says, "Not my will, but yours be done."
I love that verse.
Yeah. I do too. Like, I like how you put that right there in the notes, that, like, we can know what God expects of us, but sometimes it's difficult, and we can't do it in our own strength.
Mm-hmm.
We have to have the Holy Spirit. Like, it proved in the Bible that we can't keep up with what is expected of us on our own. Like, you look back in the Old Testament where they had the law that they were supposed to follow, and it was all these rules and all these things they were supposed to do, and they failed at it. And that's why Jesus had to come and make a way for us to be saved that was not just by following a bunch of rules, because in our own strength, we can't do what we're supposed to do. We have mm-hmm. to have the Holy Spirit. And when Jesus came and died and went back to heaven, and the Holy Spirit came, and now he's able to fill us and be our strength and be our self-discipline, like the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. Like,
yeah.
Those are all the things that we need to be able to obey. So we have to have the Holy Spirit, and you connect with the Holy Spirit that lives in you when you pray, like when you talk to the Lord. He's able to say, "Hey, remember, you're not supposed to do that."
Mm-hmm.
Or, "Hey, remember, I asked you to do this. Go do it," and give you the strength to be able to do it.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like a lot of people don't understand the power of prayer, like how much of an effect it can have on people.
Yeah.
Like the words you say have a big impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We have like the authority with the Holy Spirit that lives in us. When we speak, we can command things mm-hmm. in the spirit world, and it really does have power. And you just said something that I forgot what I was about to say. I hate when that happens.
Me
you
too.
Said something that made me think. Now I can't remember. I don't know. But we can move on.
Okay.
If I remember, I'll say it.
So point number four is by focusing on the reward. Despite our main focus of obedience should be to show that we love and cherish God, we should always remember there is a reward for obedience either in this life or the life after. Be willing to do the difficult things even when it doesn't make sense, because you know a blessing will follow. The Lord blesses people in life-changing ways. So, for example, I myself have been blessed with the church, the podcast, like getting baptized and being filled with the Holy Spirit and so many godly relationships, and all because I obeyed God's word. And when he spoke to me and told me to go to church, I listened to it.
Yeah.
And that just proves how good the Lord is and how powerful he is.
Yeah. That's very good and very true. One time I preached a sermon, and it was called Living for Reward. And I talked about it because there was one time when I was working on something, and I had put a – it was something that I was like – it was a project I was working on that basically was like putting something out for other people to use. And I did not get really the response that like I had hoped for with that. Like, I feel like people didn't get the use out of it that I was hoping that they did. And I was just sitting there praying. I was like, Lord, like, I feel like you asked me to do this. I feel like this was like inspired by you and you commanded me to do this. So I was obedient. I put a lot of work, a lot of time, a lot of effort into this. And it seems like it was all for nothing. Like, one, I don't know why you asked me to do this if it wasn't going to matter. Mm-hmm. And two is like, I feel like I just wasted my time, which is, I was a little frustrated. Not like I was frustrated with God, but I was just frustrated that I was like, felt like I wasted my time. And he like so clearly spoke to me and said, if the only reward that you ever get for what you did, all the work that you put into it, is in heaven, is that okay with you? And I was like, ugh. Wow, that really made me feel bad because I was like, I was wanting that. Not that I was wanting recognition or praise, but I was wanting that like instant like gratification to know that I put all this work in and it like mattered to someone.
Yeah.
And he was like, but what if the only reward you get for this is in heaven? Because I see what you're doing. I see your obedience. I see that you said yes and that you put the effort in, even if nobody else does. Mm-hmm. And I will reward you for it. But what if it's not right now? And I was like, oh my goodness, like that totally changed the way I look at my life and understanding that obedience has a reward that you sometimes can't see right now.
Yeah.
And I trust the Lord. I know that he has good things for me. I know that he will do what he's promised. And so now I don't have to look at my life and my obedience as like, what am I going to get out of this right now? But knowing that I'm storing up treasure in heaven every time I am obedient to the Lord. And so that makes like me not get so frustrated when things don't turn out the way that I planned, or if I feel like I'm doing something that's wasting my time, I know if the Lord asked me to do it, there was a purpose in it. So like, I'm just going to obey and I'm just going to do it. So, yeah. I can't remember. Is it your turn or my turn?
It's yours.
Okay, I'll read the next point.
Okay.
So the next thing is, why does crucifying your flesh play a major part in obedience? Crucifying your flesh means a radical repentance that must take place within the life of a believer. When you crucify your flesh, you are crucifying your humanly desires and replacing them with God's. It helps you obey God by not doing what you want. By not doing what you as a human wants. I just saw that in the notes. So crucifying your flesh is extremely important in obedience because, like I said, there's a lot of people who say, I don't want to do what God has told me, or what I don't want to do what the Bible says, because that restricts me from being able to do the things I want to do. And that is your flesh talking. Our flesh, because we're humans, we're born into a sinful world, wants to do things that goes against God naturally. Like, when you're a kid, no one has to usually teach you how to lie. Like, my mom babysits these girls, and one of them, she was so little. Like, but I remember the first time she, like, told me something that like wasn't true because she didn't want me to like know what she did or something. And I remember thinking, like, she's never done this before. Like, she just learned how to not tell the truth. Like, it, and it amazed me because, like, I realized that's like an instinct she just had. Like, no one sat down and said, if you don't want to get in trouble, all you have to do is say something that's not true.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just like an instinct she had as like a 2-year-old to like lie to me. And I was like, that's crazy. But it's like, it's, that is our flesh. Like, what we naturally want to do. And our flesh is at war with what God wants for us, mm-hmm. just by our human nature. So we have to crucify it. We have to lay that down and choose to live in the spirit instead of in the flesh. Because we cannot be obedient when we're operating in our flesh.
Yeah. And our next point is how to stay consistent with God. So just like how people stay consistent with working out every day, like, for example, my parents, they go to the gym all the time and they stay consistent with it. And they also stay consistent with eating healthy. And that's something they're consistent with. Or maybe like you grab coffee in the morning before mm-hmm. starting your day or whatever. But we have to make a place for God in our daily schedule too. So number one is form a habit. The best way, according to Google, is to start small and make the habit easy to accomplish. For example, if you're trying to get consistent with reading your Bible every day, you can start off small with one chapter of a book in the Bible a day and gradually increase how much you read once you start to form that habit and consistency.
Yeah, that's extremely important. And if you're listening right now, this part that we're talking about now is so important because all the stuff we talked about before now is going to be hard for you if you don't do what we're talking about mm-hmm. now. If you're like, I have noticed in my life that being consistent and spending time with the Lord literally just makes everything else not easy. Not, it doesn't make my life easy all the time, but the things I do have to do that are difficult, they're easier when I'm yeah. consistent with mm-hmm. the Lord. So what you said, forming a habit, that's so important. And that is something I feel like is so difficult, especially for students, because Jared and I have talked about this before. It's easy to live on like a spiritual highs and lows. Like you go to church camp, you get on a spiritual high, everything's good. Like mm-hmm. I pray every day. I go to church every day at church camp, you know, and like there's no distractions. Like I don't have my phone. Like yeah. I can't, you know, and you're just like on the spiritual high. And so like a lot of times people will, when they get in those moments, be like, okay, like I've got this, like everything's going to be good now. Like I'm going to take on the world. Like I'm going to pray for an hour every day. I'm going to, you know, like, and they get on this high and they think like, okay, nothing can stop me now. And the truth is like, there are days when you get home from church camp and you're not going to feel like praying and you're mm-hmm. not going to feel excited anymore. And it's not going to be like on this high anymore. You're going to come down and you're going to wake up and be like, oh, I just wish I could go back to sleep instead of getting up and reading my Bible mm-hmm. today. And so that's why you have to set goals for yourself that are manageable, like, and grow,
mm-hmm.
not start off as if you've been doing this for ever. Years,
yeah.
You know, like when you're just starting to try to be consistent, do something you can do. Because if you say, I'm going to pray for 5 minutes mm-hmm. every day, and you get up and you actually pray for 5 minutes every day, that's going to motivate you.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's going to make you feel like you can do it. And then you'll be able to say, okay, now I'm going to start praying for 10 minutes every mm-hmm. day. But if you say, okay, I'm going to wake up every morning and pray for an hour. And then the first time you're like not able to do that, then you'd be like, well, I guess I'll just quit trying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's extremely important to set, and I'm not saying don't push yourself, but especially when you're starting out, set goals for yourself that you know you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Don't try to push yourself to the max when you're just starting.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. So this is praying and meditating regularly. It should not be a bad thing to make time to pray and clear your mind. Not only is it great for your mind, it is exactly what God requires of you. One thing that I have had to do a lot in my life is literally pray and say, Lord, I'm struggling to be consistent in coming to you. And there's been times where I've gotten up in the morning and I've said, Lord, I do not want to pray right now. I do not want to talk about anything with you right now. Not because I don't want to talk to the Lord, but there's mm-hmm. been a lot of times in my life where the things that I knew I needed to pray about, I didn't want to have to think about. Mm. Like things I was struggling with or difficult situations I was having to navigate. And there was a lot of times where I was like, I just really don't want to think about this right now. So yeah. I really don't want to pray because I know if I start praying, I'm going to have to talk to you about this. And I'm just like too exhausted or I don't have the brain energy. Mm-hmm. And I've had to pray and say, Lord, I need you to help me want to pray. And he does. He will. Like, it's okay to be honest with God and mm-hmm. say, I'm struggling to do this. Like, yeah. I don't want to. Not like you're saying it defiantly or like in a rude way, like, I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
You know, but like say, Lord, my human like desire is not to do this right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I need you to help me at least have the strength to do it anyway and eventually help me want to. And praying, taking time to clear your mind, to meditate on the word of God is extremely important.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that gets so easily lost, I feel like. We live in a culture of just like doing, 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 going, going, going.
Yeah.
Busy all the time. And taking a minute to stop and fix your mind on God
mm-hmm.
is not common, even for Christians, I feel like. So that will really make all the difference.
So our next one is reading and studying scripture. Doing this can provide guidance and wisdom and give a deeper understanding of our faith and beliefs. It can be a powerful tool for personal growth and self-improvement as we reflect on the word and how it can relate to us. So on the part where it says how it can relate to us, like there's so many parts in the Bible that can relate to me. And like, I feel like it's like my Bible's like one of my shoulders to lean on because like, I feel like it just like understands me sometimes. And like,
yeah.
It's something you can go to whenever you like need to hear from the Lord or like you just need to hear something specific.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. And there's a lot of things I think that relate to us that we don't even realize.
Mm-hmm.
Or like people will read the Bible and they'll think, this is all like old timey, like this yes. has nothing to do with me. But the truth is humans are the same as they've always been.
Mm-hmm.
Our culture changes, but the main things about us, our desires, are the things that cause us to make decisions, they look different now, but it's the same. It's the same as it's always been. So even those things that seem like old-timey or irrelevant in the Bible really aren't.
Yeah.
If you really think about it, like everything somehow can tie into our lives mm-hmm. today. You just have to get outside of like your own mind and how yeah. you think of things. But I like that you said it's like a shoulder to lean on. Like that's something that I've use when I've been feeling inconsistent and I've been feeling like, Lord, I don't have the strength to like try to pray and try to talk to you right now. And there were times when I would just go to Psalms or something and I would just start reading it and I would just start praying what I was reading mm-hmm. because I was like, I don't have the energy to even think of something to talk to you about right
yeah.
now. So I would just start praying the Bible
mm-hmm.
and honestly, there's nothing better to pray than the word of God because it's definitely 100% true.
Yeah.
Like you're not going to pray the wrong thing if you're praying the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So you can definitely use that as something to lean on in those situations. Practicing righteousness and living a godly life. As a Christian, this involves following the teachings and examples of Jesus and following the principles in the Bible. It is all laid out for us in a book that we got blessed with. We just need to read it.
Mm-hmm. We just need to open it.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. It flat out tells you what to do, guys.
Mm-hmm.
Just need to read it.
Yep. There's a lot, like we just kind of said.
Yeah.
I kind of got ahead of us, I guess. Everything in the Bible can somehow relate to you.
Yep.
And pretty much the answers to any questions or anything that you're needing to know is in there.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I think people get discouraged because you can't just usually go in the Bible and it says, okay, if your friend said this to you today and you're upset about it, here's what you should do.
Yeah.
It's not like that. That's why it's so important to actually read it and get it in your heart, because then the Holy Spirit takes what you've read and applies it to your situation.
Yeah.
The Word of God is alive. It's not like you, it's not like you go in and you literally can find an exact answer to everything that you ever want to know. But the story itself speaks to the character of God. And there is a lot in there that's very specific. Mm-hmm. But even the stuff that's not, if you've read it and you've got it in your heart, the Holy Spirit can use it to help you understand things that you're going through. That's why you just have to read it.
Yep, exactly.
It's overwhelming sometimes, especially if you're new to reading the Bible and you get started and you're like, what is going on? Like, it's a lot. Mm-hmm. But if you just read it and you just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you, He will help you. And I would suggest, I'll make the suggestion, this is a practical tip. The first time I ever read through the Bible all the way, I did it with this plan on the Bible app, where it put it in chronological order. So like it told me what chapters to read, because the Bible's not in chronological order. So like all the chapters aren't exactly in the right timeline. Mm-hmm. So if you read it, if you're wanting to read through the Bible, read it in chronological order. Don't just start on the first page and try to like read the whole thing like all the way through. That's difficult. If you want to do it, that's fine. But if you're just starting out, it's easier to, because then the story makes more sense mm-hmm. if you read it in order. But if you're just starting out reading the Bible, period, I would suggest starting with the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
That's what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's what me and Cadence talked about that.
Yeah, when
months
I was first
ago.
Reading my Bible, I was like, where should I start? And she was like, start in Matthew.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So the next one is serving others in your community. Building relationships with other Christ-like people in your community is essential to your walk. Whether it's through participating in a local Bible study, volunteering at your church, or just simply getting to know your Christian neighbors, building relationships with other believers in your community can be a great way to serve and connect with others.
Yes, it's very important.
Mm-hmm.
Especially people who are going to hold you accountable and say, have you been reading your Bible?
Yep.
Have you been praying? Is there something you're struggling with? And they'll help you, because that's something you need to be consistent. You need accountability.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have anybody checking in on you, it's easy to just give up on what you're doing. I see people all the time posting like, I'm going to start my fitness journey, and I'm going to start posting my workouts every day so you guys can like gripe at me if I don't post one that day. Like people trying to have people hold them accountable.
Yeah.
So it's very important to have those friends
mm-hmm.
and to be that friend. It's important to be that community for someone else
mm-hmm.
who needs it. Okay. And then the next one is worshiping in fellowship regularly. It's not just about singing and listening, but it's about connecting with God and with other believers, growing in your faith and becoming more like Jesus. So going to church is pretty much the solution to that right
yep.
there. Go to church. If you're a Christian, you need to be in church.
Mm-hmm.
I hear people say all the time, I can be a Christian without going to church. And the truth is, that is, the Bible commands us to gather together. Do not forsake the gathering together. And it also talks about iron sharpens iron. Like, we need each other. We're made to have community. It's very hard to serve the Lord by yourself. It's not how it was designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So be in church.
Yep. So now we're on our next point. It's what causes lack of consistency. The only real thing that causes us to lack is excuses. Excuses like, I have too much homework, I just got too busy, I forgot about it, or even something like, I don't know where to start. And myself, I have made excuses before. Like, I've been talking to God, and I would say like, oh, it's too late for me to read my Bible, I'll do it tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
or stuff like that. But excuses.
Excuse me. Yes. I've started to look at it like this in my life. We all have priorities, and pretty much people in general do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to spend time with the Lord, you'll find time.
Mm-hmm.
You find time to do whatever's important to you, you find time to do.
Yeah.
And I noticed that in my own life, I had the same thing where I was like, I felt like I was so busy all the time and just didn't have the time. And that was an excuse I was making. And the Lord convicted me of that and told me, like, you have time for everything else. And everything else that you're doing is meaningless without me.
Mm-hmm.
And I started to realize, like, yeah, I have time to do all my homework. I have time to get all my work done for the church. I have time to go see my family when I want to. I have time to talk to Jared when I need to.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I say I don't have time to spend with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I realized, like, what is the work that I do at the church matter if I don't have a deep relationship with God?
Mm-hmm.
Why am I, like, what does it matter if I get a degree and do all my homework if I don't have a deep relationship with the Lord?
Yeah.
So I learned, like, I will let everything else get pushed to the side. And it's hard because God isn't sitting there giving you an A or a B or giving you an F if mm-hmm. you don't come and talk to him like my teachers are.
Yeah.
You know, God isn't forcing you to do it. I'm forced to get certain things done or else I'll get a bad grade or else I X, Y, and Z. You know, it's different. Everything else is so demanding of us, but we can't allow that to let him get pushed to the back burner just because he doesn't force us to do it.
Yeah.
And so I have learned that in my life. And I've realized when I put God first, the days that I wake up and I pray and I start my day off in the Word and in prayer, everything else works out so much better for the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
And since I've started prioritizing that, I have not slacked at school. I haven't slacked at work. I haven't slacked with my family. And so, like, I realized I did have time.
Yeah.
You just have to make the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have to sleep a little less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he'll sustain you.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
So now I just wanted to, for me and Cooper, just to talk about, like, our experiences with obeying the Lord and staying consistent and stuff. So.
Okay.
I guess I can go first. So first I want to say, like, there's one moment that I remember of me not obeying the Lord, and it was a Sunday during church, and Pastor Kenny was talking to everybody, and he was like waiting for people to come up on stage and give a word from God. And I got a word from God, but I was too scared to go up and say it. So that was like my example of not being obedient to the Lord. And I heard this one thing one time where it's like, if you don't do it, someone else will. So, like, the word that I heard, someone else went on stage and did it because I didn't do it.
Yeah. So, after that moment, like, how did that affect you?
It made me feel bad, like, guilty for not being obedient, but I learned from it, so mm-hmm. that's good.
Yeah. I have definitely had a lot of those moments in my life. And even recently have really started to understand the importance of not trying to, what's the word? Rationalize the things that God tells me to do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of times where I didn't really think I was being disobedient, but I would just like sit there and be like, oh, God, are you really telling me to go talk to this person? Or no, they probably don't want me to talk to them. They have their headphones on. Like, they can't, like, I'm not going to go bother them, you yeah. know, like things like that. And then it was easy for me to tell myself, no, you're not being disobedient. There was just a good reason for you not to do it. And the Lord has, like, really shown me, even just recently in the past, like, season of my life, like, just because there's a good enough reason not to do it doesn't mean it's not disobedience. Yeah. Like, there was a good reason for Jesus not to do almost everything that he did.
Yeah.
I mean, people criticized him over everything that he did. I mean, there was so many times where Jesus went against, like, what was normal or what was, like, expected of him. When he healed people and they said, oh, you're not supposed to do that on the Sabbath. Or mm-hmm. when he said things to people that was like, ooh, we don't talk about that stuff. Yeah. Like, and he had so many good excuses. Oh, I'm not going to heal that person because it's the Sabbath. I'm like, that's a good excuse. But he did it anyway. Mm-hmm. And so that has really made me realize in my life, like, there's a good excuse for everything.
Yeah.
It's still disobedience if you don't do it. And so I have really worked on immediate obedience, doing it when he tells me to, mm-hmm. not waiting. Because you can miss an opportunity if you don't obey when he tells you to. And like you said,
yeah.
like you had a word and someone else went up and gave it because mm-hmm. you didn't do it. And that is the truth. Like, God will accomplish what he wants to.
Yeah.
He is not going to put all of his kingdom and his purpose on you.
Yeah.
Like, because we're going to fail. So, like, he's going to accomplish what he wants to mm-hmm. do, whether it's through you or not.
Yeah.
But why would we not want to let him use us mm-hmm. and be obedient? And we miss out, again, like we talked about earlier, on blessing
mm-hmm.
when we don't obey. You could be blessed for the lives that you change because you obeyed what God told you to do and went and talked to somebody, but you miss out on the reward for that when you don't do it.
Yeah.
And as far as being consistent, I kind of just talked about that a little bit, but that is something that always was difficult for me. And I think it's especially difficult. I talked about this before on the podcast when we talked about like our personal testimonies, mm-hmm. kind of how I just grew up always knowing that God would be there anytime I needed him.
Yeah.
And that my parents were praying for me and that I was taken care of. And so it was easy for me to be inconsistent at times because I knew I can always come back. And that's true. You can always come back. He'll always welcome you back with yeah. open arms. But that's also taking advantage of him. And that's what I realized, that it hurt my heart to realize that's what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
That I was taking advantage of his grace and his mercy and his love for me. And that proved to me, like, that's not really me acting out of love for him. And so that really pushed me to start being more consistent and just also seeing, it's such a small change. It's such an easy change to make, to actually be consistent in spending time with God. And yet so many people don't do it.
Yeah.
But like, it's such a small thing to do that changes your life so much. And I wish if you would just start, you'd realize. Mm-hmm. Like, those of you who are listening, like, it's difficult to see the benefit until you just do it. Until you start praying, you don't understand
yeah.
why you need to pray. But now on the days that I, like, something comes up and I miss that time, I feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you just have to start doing it, and then you'll realize why it matters so much.
Yeah. And I have been struggling with consistency, like, just showing up for God in general. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to use an example from Skyla, because she was okay. on our last episode, but she told me something on Sunday because I was talking to her about it, and she was like, so picture that you and God are on a date, or for example, you're on a date with any other person you would go on, and you stand them up, and picture that being Jesus. Mm-hmm. So like, how would that make you feel?
Yeah. He longs to be with us.
Yeah. Like,
a lot of people don't think, like, that I think a lot of people have this idea that, like, God doesn't really care. It's like he has millions and billions of people
mm-hmm.
to deal with. Like, he doesn't really care if I don't talk to him today.
Yeah.
But he does, because he loves you specifically.
Mm-hmm.
And He wants to be with you. He wants, like, he created you.
Yeah.
He has a purpose for you. And that's good. I like that analogy.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me, there was a time when the Lord spoke to me, and it was specifically, I'm trying to condense it because it was a long conversation that we had. But basically, it was something like, Jared was like on his phone while I was trying to talk to him about something. Mm-hmm. And that is like, that is normal sometimes. You know, people do that sometimes. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying, like, he doesn't do that all the time or anything. But it was just like one moment where he was on his phone, like he was in the middle of something and I was trying to talk to him and I was getting a little frustrated about it, whatever. And it wasn't that big of a deal. But the Lord spoke to me and he was like, that's what you do to me. When I ask you to come talk to me, you're like, oh, I have to finish doing this. I have to send this text message. I have to finish this assignment first. And it's like, it makes you feel not important if he's on his phone while you're talking to him.
Yeah.
And it makes, you don't want him to do that, yet that's what you do to me.
Yeah.
And he was like, you can't expect that from him if you're not willing to give that.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, okay, I'm sorry. Like that convicted me so mm-hmm. much. And so many things I've started now recently thinking, like, how would I want Jared to, like, show his love to me and to treat me? Like, that's the same way I should be towards my relationship with God.
Yeah.
And so that has really changed, especially with my consistency. Because he also said to me one day, you talk to Jared every day. You know what he's thinking. You know what he's feeling. You know what's going on with him. He knows what's going on with you. And you guys have a relationship because you put the time in to talk to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, but I'm the one who put your lives together. I'm mm-hmm. the one who's giving you everything you have. I'm the one who's taking control of all of that. Yet I don't get as much attention as the things I gave you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my goodness, like, that's awful. It makes me think of, like, little kids when they get, like, a birthday present and it's like, oh my goodness, I'm just going to open it and play with it right now, and they forget yeah. to, like, say thank you or even yes. like look up at the person who gave it to them. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be so preoccupied with all the things in my life that you gave me and all the people in my life that I forget to actually spend time with the one who gave it all to me.
Yeah.
So.
And another thing is, like, I feel like this is kind of off topic, but, like, I know a lot of people that are like, I don't want to talk to God about this problem because I know there's a lot of other people that have bigger problems than me, so, like, he won't care about it. But, like, he cares about everybody, and he loves everybody specifically.
That's absolutely true. He doesn't have, like, a max capacity.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's not running out of time or energy or getting his inbox full. Like,
yeah.
There's no such thing. So you're definitely not ever an inconvenience mm-hmm. to God.
Yeah.
That's good.
So our last point is consistency and being obedient will change the outcome. It means no matter what, we need to keep our focus on Jesus every single day. No matter what is going on around you or what may be distracting you, pray consistently, study God's word, and keep your faith in him. The pain and suffering of this earth will all pass, but God and your spirit will last for eternity. And I have a reference verse, Romans 8:18. It's my favorite verse ever. It says, the pain you've been experiencing can't compare to the joy that is coming. And since God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, we should be the same, especially when it comes to the things of God.
Yeah. That's good.
Mm-hmm. And I hope that you guys will take a lot of information from this topic and really, like, open your hearts to it and listen and just understand that God is seeking you and he wants a relationship with you. And he shows up for us all the time, so we need to show up for him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said in the beginning, not just because we have to, but because we want to.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't. If I've never tasted chocolate before, I don't crave it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I can't think, man, I really want a piece of chocolate right now if I don't know what it tastes like. And that's so true for so many people who just never start a real relationship with God because they don't know how good it is or how important it is because they've never had it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, you have to just give it a try. You have to just start praying. You have to just start reading your Bible, and then you'll understand how good it is for you. But you can't really understand until you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So just do it.
Yeah.
If we're wrong, you can let us know, but we're not. So just try it. And I promise if you start reading your Bible and praying, you will notice a difference.
Yep.
Like, I have no question in my mind. So thank you guys so much for listening.
Also, if you guys ever want to leave comments,
yes,
we're still waiting to do our Q&A. I swear we bring this up every time, but we're waiting to do it.
We still don't have one that I've seen.
I saw this one lady comment. I don't remember what platform it was on. Maybe it was on Apple Podcasts or something.
Okay.
But she commented, she was like, there, Nicole found it. Okay. So this girl, it might not be a girl. I really don't know who it is, but they said
it doesn't have a name on it.
Okay. They said it's so evident in this episode how the power of God's word has impacted Cadence. Only 5 to 6 months in her walk with Jesus, and this is the wisdom and understanding she has already. As a Christian of more than double her lifetime, this podcast has changed me to reflect on my growth and maturity since Jesus changed my life. The chemistry between her and her youth pastor is also definitely a bonus. Unscripted and seems to be unedited, and they said the same thing at the same time several times. Can't wait to listen to future episodes. Keep up the Lord's work, ladies.
I wonder who that is. I wonder if we know them or if it's like a...
I don't know. But and then another person said, this changed my perspective on so many things.
Aw.
But yeah.
That's so sweet.
Whoever said that, thank you guys. We appreciate that.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if you guys want to leave a comment with a question, we really want to do a Q&A video. So, and again, eventually we're just going to make up our own
questions. We will. If we don't get any, we're going to make our own.
But yeah. So we hope that you guys have a great rest of your day whenever you're listening to this. Or night.
Yep.
Whatever.
Or a week.
Or week. Or a month.
Or year.
I guess month would be good because we only do this once a month.
We'll see you guys next month.
See you guys next month.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.